session of 104.94, Reel 1.
Mrs. Page, Reel 1. Could you tell me, Mrs. Page, where you were born and your family background?
Yes, I was born in Düsseldorf, a fairly large town on the Rhine in Germany, and I lived there with my family. My father inherited a timber business from his father, and we lived in Oberkassel, actually, which is a suburb of Düsseldorf, quite close to the edge of the Rhine.
What's the name were you born with? What was your maiden name?
My maiden name was Wiens, W-I-E-N-S.
Were you a prosperous family, or just comfortable, or what?
Yes, I think we could call ourselves, at that time, we were very comfortably off when I was born. It didn't last, though. In the 30s, my father had difficulties with his business, and eventually he went bankrupt in about 35, I think it was.
Did you have brothers and sisters?
Yes, I had one younger sister, 3 years younger.
And what was the religious background of the family, if any?
We were Protestant.
Practicing?
Occasionally, my mother went to church. Occasionally, I had to go to Sunday school. And we had, of course, religious instruction in school for a time.
Was this the Lutheran church?
Yes, it was the Lutheran church.
And were your mother and father interested in politics?
My mother not, but my father was very interested in politics. And he was a member of the Stahlhelm organization, which I never realized that it was a fairly right-wing organization. I have learned that by now. It was an organization for former soldiers who had fought in the First World War.
So he was a First World War veteran, was he?
Yes, he was. He had been wounded in the First World War and had a crippled foot ever since.
What branch of the army had he been in, do you know?
Yes, Fusiliere, they're called. I think they sort of try and catch prisoners, or I'm not quite sure what the Fusiliere did. It was a fairly specialized regiment, I gather.
And had he served in the East or in the West?
No, he was just for 6 weeks, then he was wounded in the West, in Flanders, I think. He was wounded, and that was the end of the war for him. Whilst his brothers kept on fighting, and two of them were killed in the West, in the First World War.
With his interest in politics, do you think that his political opinions had any effect on you?
They did indeed. I think I heard early on that his opinions about Hitler, because he had apparently read Mein Kampf before Hitler came to power. And what I do remember is that he said if Hitler comes to power, that'll mean war. That is a sort of my earliest recollection where politics are concerned. And on occasions, I mean, I even as a small child became aware that something not very pleasant was going on when I occasionally saw, twice I think, fights in the street. Of course, I didn't realize who they were, but my father, when I asked, said they are communists and Nazis. They are fighting a fairly bloody battle in some of the streets in Düsseldorf. So that was my first idea of what was to come.
But so your father was a political opponent of Hitler?
He was, yes. He definitely was.
Did he specify what kind of things he objected to as far as Hitler was concerned?
Well, his preparation for war, for one thing. And I think anybody who has read Mein Kampf must have realized what was in store for the Jews or for any foreign nationalities. And as he had quite a few Jewish friends, I think that must have concerned him, obviously. He was in Berlin during the Kristallnacht in 1938. And according to my mother, I couldn't judge it, according to my mother, that influenced him incredibly. He was came home terribly shocked, obviously. But unfortunately, he became a member of the party because his organization, the Stahlhelm, was taken over by Hitler. Soon after he came to power, it must have been lock, stock and barrel, and every member of the Stahlhelm became automatically a member of the party, Hitler's party. So my father, though he never wore the badge, was a member. And I don't quite know what he could have done, but as his business was doing badly at the time and he eventually needed a job, he probably didn't protest too much about it.
So if your father was of a right-wing frame of mind, did he see socialism as a menace? Would he have said that to you?
Communism, yes. He did see as a menace. And looking back, I mean, I grew up with the feeling that communism was really something satanic, almost, which one could not consider. And socialism, the next thing up to next to it, in evilness. But that was a sort of general atmosphere. I don't know that my father particularly preached against socialism, but I got that impression in my childhood quite strongly.
Were the communists and socialists strong in Dusseldorf?
Yeah, the communists seemed to be quite strong. And socialist party, I really don't know. I only, as I say, I remember I always heard about these fights between communists and Nazis on occasional days in the week in the streets of the main town. And Dusseldorf, on the whole, was fairly anti-Hitler. When, for instance, the Rhineland was occupied again, I mean, not occupied, when troops marched into the Rhineland again, which was against the Versailles Treaty, I remember that very distinctly. We all went to have a look, but there was dead silence. There wasn't a shout of hooray or joy or anything. I mean, the troops marched through the streets and the streets were lined by the population, all silent.
So there wasn't a strong national feeling that Dusseldorf really should be outside the provisions of the Versailles Treaty?
No, I don't think so. Of course, Dusseldorf was a slightly different attitude, probably. They've always been, obviously, being close to France. They've had quite links with France. And although they had been occupied by French troops after the war, which hadn't been very pleasant.
Was there some kind of tradition which came to you of misbehavior by French troops?
Yes, we were told that they behaved brutally sometimes, pushed people off pavements. That, I mean, that was before I was born, that's only hearsay. But that we were told as children, that that happened occasionally.
Do you have any memory of what Germany was like before Hitler came to power?
Very little, no, hardly any. I mean, my personal childhood memories, but I remember only as a small child, we lived very comfortably in a very nice area. It was very pleasant. One could move around freely. We could do what we like as children. But that is really all. I mean, I have no... Well, everybody seemed to be doing fairly well. We were the few families who had cars. And we went out weekends, drove into Holland whenever we felt like it because we weren't far from the Dutch border. Bought things and came back. It was a very pleasant life, as far as I remember. But of course I was rather young then.
What about Hitler's actual takeover in January 1933? Have you any personal memory of that?
I only remember sort of large posters being up before the election. And then I don't remember very much of the election. I remember the only thing that my father again said, that means war, when we heard the result of the election. Yes. And then, of course, we saw more brown uniformed men walking the street. And the propaganda sort of started, and eventually young people had to join the Hitler Youth Movement. Me too, and I actually did it voluntarily, I must admit, because it looked attractive to me as a child. And one was proud. I was quite proud to wear a uniform, not quite understanding what was going on. My father, of course, they couldn't say too much. Looking back, I realized that he couldn't actually say, I don't allow you to go become a member of the Hitler Youth. Don't think it would have been very safe for him.
What actually did you do in the Hitler Youth?
Well, we marched around, we camped occasionally, we stayed in youth hostels, we had groups that sang and played games whilst we were younger still. We had occasional bonfires on the meadows of the Rhine and gathered round it. And at that time, when I was about 9 or 10, the indoctrination was not very obvious. Not obvious to me, at least. We found it quite fun. I imagine like children in England joined the Girl Guides or the Brownies. I mean, that was the same impetus and the same wish to join with other girls in the same uniform.
But in the Boy Scouts here, I think we have something where we say, like, and do my duty to God and the Queen. So there's a statement of loyalty. Was there a statement of loyalty as far as you were concerned?
It was when we were given, we joined on a sort of so-called probationary period before we had our tie given. And the tie was given at a special festive occasion. And we had to say a few words praising Hitler and our great country. And then, of course, we sang very patriotic songs, songs that were specially written for the Hitler period. Looking back again on these songs, they were so utterly stupid. I mean, we probably didn't even understand what we were singing. They were really silly, silly words to it. I mean, we enjoyed the singing, that was all, and marched to it.
Why were the words so silly?
They were quite not jingoistic words, and fairly often very little meaning in it, if one analyzes it now.
But were they just in praise of Germany, or
oh, yes,
were they anti other countries?
No. They were not anti other countries. They were just praise Germany and our greatness. And certain songs were how marching towards the East again, as we had done it in historical times already, and making the world wonderful by possessing other countries, marching, spreading over the world, this sort of thing. And of course, it never occurred to us to question that very much. I must say, I didn't question that very much at that time. But I mean, I occasionally remember some of these songs. They come to me and they think, my God, what rubbish did you sing? I'm really quite silly.
So, marching towards the East, was this the famous phrase, Drang nach Osten?
Yes, Lebensraum in the East for the German people.
Did you have friends in your area or at school who were outside the Hitler Youth?
Yes, I had friends, a very good friend whose mother is, she's still alive, half Jewish, so the children were quarter Jewish. The older daughter, slightly older than I am, never joined the Hitler Youth. She just managed to get away with it. But the younger sister of my age, my very good friend, she joined, and her parents didn't stop her either. They didn't think it was a good thing. But they felt a bit obviously very, very awkward about it, having their daughter in the Hitler Youth. The father of this friend was a fairly high official in the government, in the government of the Rhineland. He was in education, but having married a half-Jewish wife, he was not promoted any further. He reached a certain stage and then he was told that because of his wife's racial background, he could not be promoted. So we were at that time aware of these difficulties.
So not to be a member of the Hitler Youth created problems for people.
Yes, one asked, why are you not a member? But eventually, I don't think one had a choice at all. After I had joined voluntarily, soon after everybody had to join, of a certain age. Born at 10-year-olds had to join.
I said earlier about the Boy Scouts having a phrase of loyalty to God and the Queen, but did God come, or religion come into the Hitler Youth? Or was there any anti-religious feeling promoted?
No, not exactly anti-religious, not at that time. But we certainly didn't have anything like the Boy Scouts have, like church parades. I mean, it certainly wasn't encouraged from that point of view. But we mentioned God. Of course, God was mentioned all the time, but not in a denominational sense. He was just more a historical force. I can't just think of the word that Hitler always used for God. But he referred to a force that had elected him to make the Germany great again.
But was there, do you remember any specifically anti-Christian propaganda, that Christianity was a pernicious thing?
No, I don't remember that, because we were still allowed to go to church. I mean, there was no difficulty at all. But I do realize, I did notice that ministers had to be very careful in what they said when they in their sermons. And I never certainly heard a minister say anything political at all, or anything criticizing Hitler. That I do not remember at all. I mean, we considered religion completely outside politics in my family. At least I did. We still had religious lessons in school for a while. I mean, we had every week we had religious instruction by an elderly gentleman who had obviously not been indoctrinated by Hitler. But it was more, this was the Old Testament, I think. It was incredibly boring. It certainly didn't influence us one way or the other.
Did you continue to be a practicing Christian?
Yes, I did. I did. I was actually confirmed when I was 14. Yes, it was in 39. Oh, yes, and I kept it up, too. Nobody tried to stop us. As long as Christians kept their mouths shut and didn't criticize Hitler, he didn't want to be too obvious in the suppression of Christianity. He must have obviously had an influence on the church leaders. I know that. I mean, there's Martin Niemöller, and we know what happened to him, people who in power. But I mean, we ordinary little people in the church, I don't think we were considered a great danger.
Were you aware of any promotion by the regime of pre-Christian German pagan religion?
Oh yes, Christmas was sort of they tried to put Christmas into sort of pagan heads, and the rebirth of the light, and we sang, I remember songs about fires burning and mothers being celebrated. That was at Christmas. So to avoid the birth of Christ and Mary, they just celebrated it as a night for mothers. When fires were lit all over the place, which not in reality, but that was a sort of background, the rebirth of the light and as I say, the festival of mothers. That's how it was brought to us, particularly in school, in the early years of school.
Did that type of thing have any influence, or was it laughed at?
Well, I mean, the older people, I'm sure, laughed at it. I mean, it didn't make any difference to the way we've celebrated Christmas at all. But I'd like to, if I could go back to my early school days, we had a teacher who was an extremely nice man, but he was an absolutely convinced Nazi. And he did his very best to influence the small children. For instance, before the election of Hitler, he dictated to us a little letter addressed to our parents, dear parents, something like that, dear parents, this day of the election is coming, please will you vote for Hitler, in this sense. Actually, my friend still kept the letter, and I saw it not so long ago. So we took that home. Obviously, my parents threw it away because we haven't got it. I've never saw it again. Then he, and another way of, a very funny quite story, I think, when we talked about David and Goliath, the story, and he talked about, look at this wonderful man, this Goliath, this strong chap. There he was, all honest and open to fight, and there comes this little Jew boy, David, with his catapult, very slyly shoots at him. And this has impressed me deeply, and I wonder how many of the other children were impressed by this talk about the sly little Jew boy who comes out of the corner with his catapult and shoots this wonderful tall fighter.
So a reversal of the Bible model.
Yes, yes, yes. Of course, at the time it doesn't strike one as funny, but it sort of impressed itself on my mind. And I can now see how cleverly they try to influence us children already. And unless one had a fairly sort of stable background, or a safe background, it could have done a lot of damage, I think.
Was he the only one who was openly supporting the Nazi ideology?
Yes, at that time in primary school we only had one teacher through the 4 years. And he was the only teacher at that time in that school of whom I knew that he openly supported Hitler. He was a younger man. The others were all older people and hadn't been sort of taken over yet by Hitler's ideology, I think.
Were there any symbols of the National Socialist ideology in the school, such as portraits or flags or anything of that kind?
Oh yes, as far as I remember, I think every classroom had a portrait of Hitler hanging, but that was it. Nothing else. And of course we had to greet the teacher every morning with raised arms saying, Heil Hitler. At the end of the day, I can't remember, but at least in the morning.
Did any of the children decline to do that?
No, not at that time. No, never. No, I don't think I've experienced that ever in any school, at any age.
Did any of the teachers try to give you the impression, albeit indirectly, that they were not wholehearted supporters of the regime?
That happened to me later in grammar school, yes. Oh, yes.
What exactly happened?
Well, we had a German teacher particularly who had a strong influence on me at that time. How did she do it? It's very difficult to, but we got the feeling that she was critical. She didn't speak up openly, and we had to of course read certain books that were prescribed by the government, which she obviously didn't agree with. But we got the feeling. I mean, she was able, in sort of sideways criticism possibly, to impart her feelings about it. But never really openly. You had to listen to hear it. And in the other text she chose, which she was free to choose. And I remember one particular awkward moment for her when, before we had our last exams, we left before we were 18, we were visited by a government official from the education office to check just what our standard was, and he let us interpret a poem by Goethe, and he asked us questions, but obviously he wasn't satisfied with our answers, and he gave his interpretation, which stunned us even then. I can't repeat it. But I remember seeing our teacher who was sitting at the side of him, her face practically went white, sort of. And he put such an ideological, Nazi ideological interpretation on this poem by Goethe that even we, I mean, even the dumbest amongst us must have noticed it. Referring, I mean, ridiculously to the power and strength of the nation again. And waking up, I think the poem was called Prometheus and the Rising of the Nation. I mean, aspects which we had never even touched when discussing the poem. But, and the man was sitting in front of us in the uniform of a high Nazi official, which was, of course, not very pleasant for our teacher. I mean, we were used to people in uniform and could put with up with it. But I think most of us were stunned by his interpretation.
What about the question of physical education? Was that specially promoted in the schools at the time?
Well, I don't know if I did a lot more than I would have done otherwise. Really, we didn't. We were. At one time we were supposed to have one lesson every day, which was only 3/4 hour, which I don't think we kept to. We had at least 3 times physical education. But, I mean, that was very pleasant. That we didn't connect that really with the regime all that much. I mean, just kept us fit. Of course, we did sport in the Hitler Youth as well. Sports was quite highly promoted there. And we had every year a festival and competition, a sort of mini-Olympics for the Hitler Youth, which was enjoyable again.
You mentioned your father's predictions that the coming to power of Hitler meant war. But what do you recollect as a child in Germany at the time of the attitude towards foreign countries that was promoted officially?
I really don't remember so much about it. That it did. We had, of course, very little contact. We personally, our family had contact with England because part of our family had emigrated to England in the last century. So my father talked about England quite a lot. He had been here before the First World War. And we at home had this connection, as I say, and we had recipes and we had letters from and pictures and so on. But, of course, very few people traveled abroad.
Was any particular country promoted as a special enemy of Germany?